time now for our weekly chat with the experts at ETF.com, the world's leading independent authority on ETFs.
Just like with the stock, it's a function of the volume of the security. You can often put your limit order in between those two prices. That's if you're still concerned about how do you value cryptocurrencies.
Sumeet, Happy New Year. Great having you back on the podcast.
Happy New Year, Nate. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. So look, I think the narrative around the U.S. dollar seems fairly straightforward right now, which is that we've had trillions of dollars pumped into the system, right? The Fed and fiscal stimulus, which it sounds like there's more stimulus on the way. But the thought is this could result in inflation, which would be a negative for the dollar. I guess first, you know, I always like starting with the basics. Do you maybe want to just describe at a high level this relationship between stimulus and inflation and the dollar?
Yeah, Nate, let me go through that. And there's a couple important drivers of all currencies, including the dollar. And the biggest long-term driver, like you said, is inflation and how it relates to purchasing power. In the end, most currencies are held to buy goods and services. So purchasing power, or the amount of goods and services you can buy with a given currency, that's going to be the most significant driver of that currency's value over the long term. And when it comes to fiat currencies like the dollar, purchasing power usually declines steadily over time because of inflation. When prices are rising, that's going to equal a reduction in the purchasing power of a single dollar. And that's largely by design. Central banks usually favor a modest, predictable level of inflation, something around 2%, because it encourages economic activity. And you can see how important purchasing power and inflation are to the worth of a currency when you look at places like Venezuela, Argentina, Zimbabwe. In those type of countries, inflation is so high that their currencies are losing 50% or more of their value in a single year. So the connection between inflation and the worth of a currency is pretty clear to see. Here in the U.S., inflation obviously isn't 50%. It's actually pretty low right now, around 1.6% based on the CPI. But expectations for inflation going forward, they recently hit the highest level since 2018, around 2.1%. And that's largely because of all the fiscal and monetary stimulus we've seen from the U.S. government. The trillions of dollars of stimulus that we've seen is going to equal more money sloshing through the economy, and that's leading to these higher inflation expectations. And it's those expectations that are driving the dollar down. But purchasing power is one driver of currency values. The other big one is interest rates, which affects the demand for financial assets. All else equal, higher interest rates, they're going to attract more capital into financial assets in a given country. So if rates are high in the U.S., that's going to encourage investors around the world to hold dollar-denominated assets like cash and fixed income securities over assets denominated in other currencies. And that's something that's worked in the favor of the U.S. dollar when interest rates were so much higher than they are now, you know, early last year and before that, the U.S. rates were much, much higher than what we saw in Europe and Japan. So the dollar was supported by that. But ever since March, when the pandemic struck, those interest rate differentials have completely gone away. Rates are zero in the U.S., just like they are everywhere else. So the dollar isn't benefiting from that anymore. And I'll also just point out that it's important to note that interest rates also feed back into the purchasing power of a currency, because higher rates generally dampen inflation pressures while lower rates increase inflation pressure. So that's why sometimes you see currencies appreciate in the face of high inflation, because if rates are going up also, there's the expectation that inflation is going to eventually come down.
And Sumeet, what has the path of the dollar looked like recently, or even if we go back the past few years?
So if you look at the past few years, the dollar was sitting at a low point around 2008, 2009. That's when we had that commodity boom. Then the financial crisis struck, and we saw a big rush into the dollar around 2009. And then we saw an even bigger push higher in the dollar around the 2013-2014 timeframe. We saw a big move up in the dollar, and that was when those interest rate differentials I talked about really moved in favor of the U.S. The Fed was hiking rates. Other central banks weren't hiking rates. And that really supported that dollar. And that was around the 2014 to 2019 timeframe. That was a really good period for the dollar. And then, of course, ever since the pandemic hit, it's been a slow slide down for the dollar, though we haven't gone all the way back to where we were, say, 5 years ago.
All right. So with that, let's talk ETFs and potential investment impact. And obviously, investors can play this very directly through currency ETFs, like the Invesco Currency Shares Euro Currency Trust, ticker FXE, or the Invesco Currency Shares Japanese Yen Trust, ticker FXY. That's if you want to bet on those currencies rising against the dollar. Of course, if you wanted to bet on the dollar, you have the DB US Dollar Index Bullish Fund, ticker UUP, very popular. And there are other options here, too. But what I want to focus on are sort of the stealthy ways a weakening dollar can impact a portfolio. And I think what's probably most applicable to investors is a weaker dollar could impact their international stock ETFs, right? Because let's say you own Japanese stocks and the yen is strengthening against the dollar. That's a tailwind for returns. Now, of course, we know some investors own currency hedged international stock ETFs where they're actually betting on dollar strength. Right now, the most popular currency hedged stock ETF is the Xtrackers MSCI EFA hedged equity ETF, ticker DBEF. Of course, I always think of the WisdomTree ETFs, right? The Europe hedged equity ETF, ticker HEDJ, and the Japan hedged equity ETF, ticker DXJ. But I'll just open this up to you. Talk about some of the considerations here for investors who own international stock ETFs.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head, Nate. I'll just go over it in a little more detail. So when you own an international financial asset, you are making a tacit bet on currency movements. Say you have an ETF, like you said, Nate, and it owns Japanese equities. If those Japanese stocks go up 10%, that's great, but the ETF you own may or may not go up by that much. That's because the stocks that the ETF owns are denominated in Japanese yen. You have to convert those share prices back into dollars to see what your actual return as a U.S. investor is. So if the dollar appreciated against the yen in the time that you held the ETF, your gains will be lower than 10% since each yen in dollar terms is worth less than when you bought them. If instead the dollar depreciated against the yen, your gains will be higher since all those yen are now worth more in dollar terms. So if you own plain vanilla international ETFs, that's usually the equation you're dealing with. But maybe you don't want to be subject to the whims of the currency markets. Maybe you think the dollar is going to appreciate, so you don't want to deal with that, or you just don't want to deal with the uncertainty of where the dollar is going to go. If that's the case, then you can buy those currency hedge ETFs that you talked about, Nate, like DXJ for Japanese equities or HEDJ for European equities. These ETFs, they're essentially locking in the prevailing exchange rate. So your returns are then mostly a function of where the underlying stocks go. So you lose out versus unhedged ETFs when the dollar goes down in value, but you win out if the dollar goes up. Just keep in mind that there is a cost to putting these currency hedges on. It's not free. If rates in the currency that you're hedging are high, then those costs may actually be prohibitive. But in today's low-rate world, it's not as much of a consideration as it might be.
Okay, so this actually brings up a good question because I know some investors argue that if you're hedging currencies, so you are in something like the WisdomTree currency hedged ETFs, you're actually making two bets. You're betting on whichever international stock market you're investing in, and you're betting that the currency in that market will decline versus the dollar. I guess, do you agree with that? Or do you think you're making two bets by owning unhedged international stock ETFs, or is this all semantics?
Well, first I'll say that forecasting currency movements accurately is nearly impossible.
Good
no
point.
One can really do that, yeah, on a consistent basis. But in both the hedged and the unhedged ETFs, you're making two bets either way. In the unhedged case, you're hoping that the dollar stays flat or goes down versus whatever currency your international assets are denominated in. In the hedged case, you're hoping that the dollar stays flat or goes up. Otherwise, you paid for your hedges for nothing. I guess you can say that, you know, with rates being low, the opportunity cost of hedging isn't that high right now. So if you'd rather take the currency movements out of the picture and completely accept the fact that you may be giving up some potential gains, then hedging might make sense. I think it's a legitimate thing to do, especially in the cases of the low-yielding currencies, not so much in the case of something like emerging markets where hedging can be extremely expensive.
Well, and kind of a wild card here to consider when you talk about how difficult this all is, let's say a country's currency is falling, that could make the prices of their goods cheaper in other currencies, right? So theoretically, that could help the returns of companies exporting goods out of those,
exactly.
Just to throw in another variable. By the way, just a little trivia for you and the listeners. We talked about the WisdomTree currency hedged ETFs. Do you know what the largest currency hedged ETF currently is?
I don't. A few years ago, I'd have said definitely DXJ or HEDJ, but I have no clue what it is today.
All right. Well, it's a little bit of a trick question. It's actually a bond ETF, the Vanguard Total International Bond ETF, ticker BNDX, which I don't think some people realize that is currency hedged.
Wow. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
What about emerging markets? So I'm actually going to be covering this topic later in the podcast with EMQQ's Kevin Carter. But I think many investors believe these are essentially a dollar play, right? That when the dollar is weak, emerging markets are a pretty good place to be. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, so emerging markets can be affected by the dollar, and in many ways they are. A weak dollar can be a positive for EM because a lot of emerging market economies, they're closely tied to commodity prices. So when the dollar drops, commodities get a bit of a boost on the margin since overseas buyers can afford more of them. At the same time, you know, many EM economies, they're export driven. So a weaker dollar helps there as their exports become more affordable when the dollar drops. And thirdly, emerging market companies and a lot of emerging market governments, they have a lot of dollar denominated debt. And this becomes less of a burden when the dollar goes down. So when you put all that together, a depreciating dollar certainly helps emerging markets, but it's by no means the only factor that affects emerging markets. There's so many other underlying fundamental drivers that are even more important than the dollar. So it's just one thing to keep in mind, but it's by no means emerging markets is simply a dollar play.
All right, Sameet, a few minutes left. You are our resident Bitcoin and commodity expert. And I don't think there's any question. One of the reasons Bitcoin has run so hard is because of concerns over dollar devaluation. You look, Bitcoin's up like, 300% over the past year. Gold, that was up 25% last year. It's off to a little bit of a sluggish start this year, but again, strong year last year. Any quick thoughts on either of those as a hedge against the weakening dollar?
Well, I don't think they're good dollar hedges in the short term. They're just too volatile for that. They're not going to match the dollar one for one by any means. I mean, the volatilities of the assets are just too different. But if you look over longer time horizons, there is the case to be made that alternative assets like gold or Bitcoin could preserve or even grow in investors' purchasing power as the dollar depreciates. Gold has certainly proven itself in that regard over very, very long time periods, over, you know, many decades. Bitcoin could prove itself as a good store of value also, but it depends on enough people considering it to be a good store of value. It all comes down to collective belief when it comes to these alternative stores of value. If enough people believe it, it becomes self-fulfilling. But you have to think extremely long-term, not short-term. And then you have to accept that these investments have a high level of risk and volatility.
What about just broad commodities? So, you know, a lot of commodities are denominated in dollars. So theoretically, that would help as the dollar declines. I mean, how tethered are commodities to the dollar?
Like I said earlier, in the short term, the dollar definitely has an impact because that cheaper dollar enables overseas buyers to purchase more commodities. So it definitely helps on the margin in the short term, but I would not call commodities a good dollar hedge. And there's so many things that get in the way of making a good investment in commodities, things like contango, things like roll cost. So if you look over long periods, commodities have actually done very, very poorly as an investment, other than certain things like gold, which are easy to store. So I would definitely push back against the idea that commodities are a good dollar hedge.
Well, Sumeet, great stuff as always this week. This can be a complicated topic and get your head spinning a little bit. So I certainly appreciate your perspective. And I just want to reiterate something that you mentioned earlier, which is obviously trying to play the dollar is extremely difficult. I think our point here is just to emphasize that you want to understand how the dollar can impact your portfolio. I think that'll help you be better prepared and not have any surprises, really, regardless of which way it moves. But thank you for joining me this week.
Thanks for having me, Nate.
That was ETF.com, Sumeet Roy.